Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. In this episode, a lucky member of the Feed the Pig podcast audience will get to test their financial knowledge in round two of the financial literacy quiz. Hi, and welcome back to the Feed the Pig podcast. Today we'll be doing the financial literacy quiz. Joining us now is Megan. Megan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, hi. I'm in my 30s. I'm calling in from Chicago today.
Also joining us today is Jordan Amon. He's a CPA coming all the way from New Jersey. He's going to give us all the information you need to know about your answers. Thanks for being here, Jordan.
My pleasure, Tim.
Let's get started. What is the maximum amount of insurance provided by the FDIC on the money in my accounts? Is it A, $25,000, B, $50,000, C, $100,000, or D, $250,000?
Oh, I know this one. It's been all over the news recently. It's D, $100,000.
I'm sorry, Megan. Hey, coming out of the gates, you're having a tough one today. I'm sorry, the correct answer is D, $250,000. Jordan, tell us a little bit about that number.
My pleasure. Don't feel so bad about your answer. In light of the recent financial crisis, the government has increased the maximum amount of deposit insurance from $100,000 to $250,000. So you were close with the answer. You would have been right a few months back. What that means is that all accounts held at a bank in a single name are added together. So let's say you had a checking account, a savings account. You added those together. If the balance is under $250,000, your deposit is insured by the federal government. If you had more than that, the piece above $250,000 might not be covered were your bank to fail.
All right, Megan. Don't worry. We've got more questions for you. Here we go. Question number two. You have saved $20,000 for a down payment on a house you plan to buy within the next year. Where's the safest place to keep it? A, stocks. B, bonds. C, bank savings account. Or D, in a jar buried in the backyard.
Well, D certainly sounds appealing on some days, but I'm pretty sure the answer is C, bank savings account.
You're correct. That's correct. Letter C, bank savings account. Tell us a little bit about it, Jordan.
Well, that's right. The reason that bank savings account is a safe choice for your down payment is it's a couple reasons. The first is, as we just learned, an amount of $20,000 will be protected by the federal government and insured if something were to happen with your bank. And also, unlike stocks and bonds in some instances, it doesn't go up or down in value. You may earn only a little bit of interest on it at a low interest rate, but you're free from the fluctuations of the market, which means when you find that dream house, that $20,000 will still be $20,000, and you don't have to worry about it being possibly 18 or maybe even less than that. The other nice thing is that you can access it immediately without having to wait, you know, a couple of days for a stock to sell or a bond to sell, but it's readily available. And obviously, the jar buried in your backyard is probably not the best choice.
Well, Megan, you find yourself back on track and out of the jar in the backyard. Let's move on to question number three. What provides the most protection for your credit report? A, a credit freeze. B, a fraud alert. C, a security lock.
I'm not sure about this one. Is it B, a fraud alert?
Oh, I'm sorry. The correct answer is credit freeze. Jordan, tell us a little bit about the importance of the credit freeze.
credit freeze is a great idea. We all read plenty about identity theft these days and how concerned you need to be about who has access to your information. What a credit freeze does is it blocks access to your credit report from potential lenders. And without you, you know, you need to give your authorization in order for someone to access your credit report. So someone that has access to your information fraudulently that might be trying to get a loan in your name, when a lender goes to check your credit report, they'd be unable to access it without getting approval from you to access that information. Therefore, it really freezes access to your credit.
Well, Megan, don't worry. You still have two more questions before you can call yourself financially fit. Let's try question number four. True or false? With a nest egg of $1 million, you can retire comfortably.
I think that's false. A million's a lot, but who knows what it'll be.
You're correct! Tell us about how much money you'll really need, Jordan.
You know, it's funny, when we were growing up, $1 million, being a millionaire was a great thing. But now it's still a very good thing, but it's just not what it used to be. $1 million doesn't buy as much as it used to. So unfortunately, for those of us in that younger age profile, we're going to need more than $1 million to be able to retire comfortably. So it's why we stress so often the importance of starting to save early and often, and making saving a part of your everyday habits, and making sure that when you go to retire, you'll have several $1 million so that you can retire very, very comfortably and enjoy the benefits of all the years you spent working.
So Megan, tell me, are you feeling financially literate yet?
Well, I'm doing okay, but not great.
Well, you've got one more chance. Question number five. This is a yes or no question. You just started a new job and have been automatically enrolled in your company's 401k plan. But money's tight. Should you opt out and plan to start saving later?
No, that's just never a good idea.
You're correct! Go ahead, Jordan, tell us about it.
Well, that was a great answer, Megan. You should never wait to start. What you should do is, if money's tight, is figure out how much you can put aside, and it doesn't have to be your whole paycheck, but make sure you contribute something to your 401k. And there's two reasons, two huge reasons for that. The first is, the money is tax deferred, so you're not paying tax on that money that you're earning currently. So to save that money later outside of a 401k, it could potentially cost you more, more money to save the same amount. The second thing is, as we say, always start saving early and often. If someone were to start saving, at age 22, maybe $100 a month, assuming an 8% rate of return, you'd have almost $500,000 by the time you retired at age 65. If you were to wait just 10 years to start doing the same thing and retire at age 65, you'd have less than half that amount. If that's not an advertisement to start soon, then I don't know what is.
Well, Megan, thanks so much for playing this financial literacy quiz. And remember, all the knowledge you learn is yours to keep.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us again on the Feed the Pig podcast. And don't forget to look for us next time, because we'll be looking at more ways for career builders to make the most of their money. Jordan Amon works for Amper, Polizziner, and Mattia, a CPA firm in the New York, New Jersey region. If you're looking for more information on ways to save, you can check out feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Or if you have a question that you want us to talk about, email it to us at feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or FeedThePig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and FeedThePig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and FeedThePig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.